Well, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where we take time and answer questions because they're coming every day from everywhere.
Yes, families are being challenged today. The enemy is on the move, and we just have to stand together and fight together. So here we go. Joe, I don't want to admit it, but I feel alone in my marriage. My husband works and provides, but we don't have a true emotional connection. Do you have any tips on how we can grow in our connection and intimacy?
Well, I'll be honest with you. You can get somebody at church. We got any counselors at church. It'd be good just to talk to somebody one time. I don't know how many couples we've helped that just came here for one 30-minute visit. Hey, what's going on? Well, we're having some challenges. Well, I doubt it. And he realizes it's just men and women think different. They see problems different, and they solve them different. Plus, when you get married, you marry your exact opposite. It's a gift from God. Your spouse doesn't think like you, nor will they ever think like you. They don't feel what you feel. They're not worried about what you're worried about. It's two people coming together and spending a lifetime building a relationship together, and you'll be working on it forever. So you just got to have some time where you can actually just talk to one another. Not preach, not criticize, just get a cup of coffee and a donut and sit down. Hey, let's sit down for about 10 minutes and share. And I used to tell people, couples, if you just get together once a week for 30 minutes, get some coffee, get some hot tea, go out and sit on the porch or whatever, and just sit there for a little bit and talk. Say, hey, honey, how do you think the marriage is going? How do you think the kids are doing? How's our finances? Is there someplace else you'd like to live? And so I used to get a list of questions, just common sense, carnal questions. And I would always be shocked at what my wife would say because I wasn't thinking about it, but she was. I'm not concerned about it, but she was. And then I'm concerned about something she can care less about. So it's two people building a life together. So you're going to have to learn how to talk every now and then because what you're wanting is him to think like you. And that's not ever going to happen. He's a guy and he thinks like a man. So you married your opposite.
Well, I think it's fascinating that in the communication age, we seem to be communicating less than we ever have because of everybody's on their cell phone. I mean, if you go to a restaurant, you see families come in and sit together and they stick an iPad in front of their kids so that they will stay occupied, which is sad to me. It's very, very sad. I think we're becoming more and more isolated and communicating less and less. But here's the thing. There's not a magic wand that's going to go, bing, here's your intimacy. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
So what I would suggest is you take some steps, try to mix it up, say, let's take tonight and whoever touches their cell phone first on the table while we're eating has to buy me dinner on Friday night or I'll buy yours or
can get expensive.
Yeah. Or fix him a bath or do something, reach out and you stir the pot.
Give them a foot rub. Give them a back rub.
Yeah.
And the first thing you're going to think, what do you want? I don't want anything. I just want to just bless you and take care of you. I love you.
Yeah.
And it's been a busy day for all of us.
Sometimes you have to stir up what was once there. And
they will respond, believe
me. They will. And it's easy to get out of that pattern where you keep it fun.
If you don't do that, you're going to go like 99% of all couples on this planet. Well, we fell out of love. Well, we fell. I said, you can't fall out of love. You can fall out of bed. You can fall off the couch. You can fall out of your car. You can't fall out. Love's a choice. You chose to be with one another. But there are things you have to do. And Revelation 2 talked about the church at Ephesus. And Jesus was talking. He said, well, you left your first love. I said, what? I thought you were bragging us. I bragged on you more than any of the other seven churches. You got the most compliment. But I've got this thing again. You left your first love. What? You don't do what you did when you first fell in love. We used to hang out, talk, and give foot rubs, whatever. We've not done that in a while because every human gets into a habit of just settling in. Well, I know they love me. Well, if you told them lately, well, they know it. If you give them a back rub or a foot rub, they don't need that. I don't like doing that anyhow. Well, that's part of being married. It's called sacrifice. And that's why marriage is actually a funeral. You're going to spend the rest of your life serving that other person. So if you're waiting on them to guess what it is you need, it's not going to happen. I had one lady come in, her and her husband. She said, I shouldn't have to tell him what I need. We've been married for 34 years. I said, honey, he's not a mind reader. Men read newspapers. They don't read minds. That's a best-selling book. You got to tell him. honey, would you take out the trash? Sure, would you give me a foot rub? Honey, would you pick up the kids from school? Don't ask him, tell him. It will work, but you've got to communicate.
Years ago, I had a friend, and she was married, and she was struggling in her marriage and everything. And one day her husband came home. He had sold something, and she was taking a shower, and he threw $1 bills over the top of the shower. And of $101 bills. And he said, go shopping for yourself. Well, in those days, $100 would go a whole lot further than they would today. But it was a very thoughtful, simple gesture. You know, you could make a...
He made a memory.
Yeah. Just think about things that you can do.
She still tells that story probably.
Yes. Yeah. And if you stir the pot, he'll start. But you're just going to have to get it going a little bit. Are. All right, Joe. I have doubts about the future. I see the way things look, and it is hard to have a positive outlook. I'm sorry. I don't want to be depressed, but I feel like I'm swimming upstream.
Well, if you're not the Word of God, you are. The Bible's very clear about that. 2 Timothy. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, heady, high-minded, truce breakers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, disobedient to parents. It's a long, nasty list. But the Bible also says in the last days, God said in Acts 2, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. You'll dream dreams. You'll have visions. I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children of the fathers. The greatest revival of all human history is happening right now on this planet. But God does not have a TV channel. I don't care what they call it. God doesn't have a TV channel. He works things one-on-one. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time Jesus did a miracle, first thing he'd say is, shh, don't tell anybody. He didn't take out a billboard. He didn't take out an ad in the newspaper. It was one-on-one. So what's going on is you've got to get yourself in the Word of God. The Word of God is our mirror. What's going on? Well, it's in the book. God wrote one volume. Volume one, volume two is not coming out. He said in the last days, there'll be some tough times, but not for the church. We live in the church age. It's winding down, but we're still in the church age where God's spirit's still being poured out. God still supplies needs. God orders our steps, directs our paths. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. We got all kinds of promises, but they're in the book. But if you don't read the book, you don't know that. And I've got family members. I love them, but you know, if you're not in church, if you're not reading your Bible, you're lost as a goose in a snowstorm, they used to say. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going on. All you listen to the news. I've shared this so many times. When I was on church staff one time for about 10 years, we'd come in early in the morning. This is a big church, great church, awesome church, great teaching. But staff would come in, so early in the morning, we're coming in, and we'd have a short prayer meeting. Then we go to the kitchen, everybody get a cup of coffee or some hot tea, and go to the office. We got a lot of stuff to do today. And I don't know how many times I go to the coffee room, and the people say, hey, Joe, did you see the news this morning? I said, no, I don't watch the news in the morning. Did you see what's going on in Afghanistan or Zimbabwe? See what's going on in South Africa? No, I don't watch the news in the morning. Matter of fact, I don't watch the news hard at all. And so I read my Bible this morning for about 5 minutes, you know, prayed while I was taking a shower and getting ready and talking to the kids and prayed on the way to work. No, I don't feed on negative because there's no good news. There is no bad news sales. Good news does not sell. There's no station. Hey, we report nothing but good news. We're positive. Nobody's going to watch you. Humans like to watch tragedy. You see an accident on the highway, everybody in their car will stop to watch that tragedy. Somebody's just doing good. Nobody's going to watch that. People are captivated by the bad. So you got to make your mind up. You're going to have to read your Bible. Read a proverb a day. That's why there's 31 of them. Read one proverb a day and it'll change your life forever. I've told, I don't know how many people in the 29 years we've traveled, if you read one proverb a day, your life will be different than everybody else's planet. Just one time. Just 1 month. What'd you do? Well, 1 month, I read a proverb a day for a whole month. What'd it do? Changed my life because it's the Word of God. And God watches over his word before me. Plus, it gave me a hunger to read more. Then I started reading Psalms. Man, I went to Revelation. You know, I started reading some stuff. So you got to get yourself in the Word of God. If you don't, you'll stay depressed. You'll stay fearful. You'll stay afraid. You'll believe every negative thing's going to happen. There are only two groups of people on this planet, those chasing God, those chasing the devil. There's no third middle group. It's just two groups. So get your mind. I'm going to start chasing God by doing what? Get my face in the Word of God.
Bible says that there's three things that choke out the word. The cares of this world is number one.
Yep.
And it's easy. It is easy because we are so inundated with it, with just destruction, fear, every negative emotion that you can think of is just pushed down our throats every day.
Listen, well, if you ever watch a commercial for a new car on TV, what they're trying to say is your car wore out? Is it falling apart? Is the transmission not working? You need to come to Billy Bob's to get you a new car. What they say is that what you got's not good enough. You got to get something better. And that's the way the world talks to us. Your marriage isn't good enough. Your kids aren't good enough. Your life's not good enough. The devil's a liar. He's lied from the beginning. Jesus said, I'll tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you got to get some truth in. What is it? I live in the greatest day of human history. I personally, me, Joe, and Angel, we live in the greatest day of human history. We've told a lot of our kids this. We got 8 adult children, all out of college, but we told them, you live in the greatest day of human history, but it's up to you to do something about it. And if you don't want to do anything about it, you just stay depressed and afraid and sit in your house, lock the door. That's no life. That's not my God. So we're supposed to go out into the world, be a blessing, leave everybody better than we find them. How are you going to do that? I got God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory.
That's
a sermon.
Yeah. So, you know, the Bible talks about that, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things.
Yes.
Choke out the word.
Yes.
So you have to fight against that.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to turn off the TV, turn off the radio, read your Bible. Be careful who you hang around. Your friends are very important to you. And if they're always preaching doom and destruction, you might need a new set of friends. So be careful what goes in, because it can get in your heart. So just guard yourself against that, because, hey, Joe says this all the time. God is moving like a freight train, but he's not on the news. We don't see it. We were just at a church where they were talking about how many young people they are sending on the mission field.
Yep.
Full time.
Yes.
Well, we're not hearing about that.
Nope, that's not on the news.
So we're just hearing negative. And that's not going to stop. That's going to continue. So we have to guard our hearts from that kind of speech and talk. And
you're not going to become a religious nut. My God, we're just going to sit home and read the Bible all day. No, you're going to have a great life. You're going to enjoy things. People said, that's about a television. Angel, we got a big old screen TV in our family room. Big old thing, like a drive-in movie. But we don't watch stupid. We don't have those stupid channels, you know. We watch good stuff. You know, we talk about it. Is this going to end good? We're not going to watch it. You know, and people say, well, that's not real. No, that is real. Because, you know, at the end of the Bible, we're in heaven, eating dinner, saddling a horse, having a good time, sharing testimony, getting ready to come back with Jesus and rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's real good for the believer, not the unbeliever. So what are you trying to do? Get as many people saved as we can.
Yeah.
Leave everybody better than we find them.
Yes. All right, Joe, I want to get involved at my church as a volunteer, but I don't have any specific gifts or talents. To be honest, I don't even know where to start. What is a good starting place to serve in the church? Well, let me start this one.
Yeah.
First of all, I've served in every part of the church. I've cleaned bathrooms. I've done every single role. But my biggest challenge was one summer, my daughter volunteered me after my children were grown to work in the nursery. I had a hard time changing my own kids' diapers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that was a challenge for me, but I did it and it was so good. It was really good for me. I learned a lot, got to meet a lot of new people. So go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was an administrator of a big church for years. So we got people want to volunteer and I teach Sunday school. I said, well, you ever been around kids? Oh yeah, I got 2 of my own. Yeah, but you ever been around a group of other kids? I just love children. Well, let's do this. I've got a book I want you to read, and I want you to come in for 5 Sundays in a row or 5 Wednesdays in a row, and I want you to sit in a classroom under another teacher and just observe. And that's when we weeded them out. So usually it took about 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't think I'm going to work with kids. I didn't think so. Maybe you'd like to be an usher, a greeter, or, you know, shake hands at the door, sing in the choir. We got 100 things you can do down at church to be a blessing. You shouldn't hate going to church. You should hate serving at church. You should love what you do. You got to be excited when you get up. We're going to go to church.
Well, the great thing about serving in a church is that you take ownership and it becomes yours. And plus you get to meet a whole bunch of new people. So I would just say, where do you need me? And that's where I'm going to be.
Come on. That'll make a pastor grin ear to ear.
You're not kidding. You are not kidding. Hey, guys, we appreciate you so much. We love our Mondays with you. And we just thank you so much for all you do to support us with your prayers and your financial gifts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. Have a wonderful week. We're praying for you.
Great grace on you guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit